news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
If it's Tuesday, this must be Belgium. More specifically, Brussels. That's where President Joe Biden is participating in the U.S.-EU summit on Tuesday after the NATO meeting wrapped up. Biden and EU leaders discussing a range of topics aimed at strengthening transatlantic ties, including global health security, global economic recovery, climate crisis solutions, and trade cooperation. During Monday's NATO summit, members issued a communique highlighting the, quote, threat presented by Russia and the, quote, challenges posed by China. They also largely supported the U.S. decision to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. Biden met with Turkish President Erdogan afterward, adding to his list of one-on-ones with heads of state during this international trip. And after Tuesday's meeting with the Belgian king, it's Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday. One simmering controversy concerns Ukraine. As Ukrainian President Zelensky tweeted on Monday, quote, commend NATO partners' understanding of all the risks and challenges we face. NATO leaders confirmed that Ukraine will become a member of the alliance and the MAP is an integral part of the membership process. Ukraine deserves due appreciation of its role ensuring Euro-Atlantic security. But President Biden, in his Monday press conference, denied the claim, saying that they still have to meet certain criteria to be admitted and added that it's not up to him, but the NATO alliance who will decide by vote. Back at home, depending on who's talking, momentum in the Senate is either behind the $1.2 trillion infrastructure proposal or it's dead on arrival. Politico's reporting that Chuck Schumer has argued to his members that they can do infrastructure in two steps. First, passing a more modest bipartisan bill to satisfy Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, then going big with Democrats only to take on climate, expanded social welfare programs, and corporate tax reforms via reconciliation. And therein lies the problem. Neither Manchin nor Sinema would commit to supporting the second part, which is what Bernie Sanders is demanding. And on the other side, Sanders has announced that he's a hard no on that tentative bipartisan deal. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, Republicans continue trying to gaslight the nation over the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Well, on Tuesday, the House Oversight Committee is releasing a timeline of the calls for help that day. NBC's Scott McFarlane jumped the gun by tweeting the details Tuesday night. And basically, it goes like this. At 1:34 p.m., D.C. Mayor Bowser asked for, quote, additional forces. 1:49 p.m., Capitol Police Chief makes frantic call to guard, citing dire emergency. At 2:10 p.m., the Capitol Police Chief asks for, quote, immediate assistance. 2:19 p.m., D.C. Homeland Security Director Chris Rodriguez advises the guard, windows are being broken at the Capitol, requests guard. 2:25 p.m., Capitol Police Chief requests immediate assistance, joins in a conference call with D.C. officials and military. 2:36 p.m., on call, Capitol Police Chief asks again. 2:40 p.m., on call, Capitol Police Chief asks again. 2:42 p.m., on call, D.C. Police Chief Robert Conti asks for guard. 3:26, Capitol Police Chief calls National Guard again and asks for immediate assistance again. 3:46, Capitol Police Chief calls National Guard again and asks for immediate assistance again. 4:22 p.m., Capitol Police Chief makes verbal request to National Guard again for support. 4:23 p.m., Capitol Police Chief writes memo to National Guard seeking help. That is 12 requests for National Guard help. The House Oversight Committee says its findings show Army leaders told the National Guard to stand by five times as the attacks unfolded. Wow. So think back to February 2016. Barack Obama was still president and Mitch McConnell was Senate Majority Leader when Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died. McConnell blocked then-President Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland to fill Scalia's seat. He held that seat open for 9 months until after the presidential election, at which point they confirmed Neil Gorsuch to the court. Then Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died in September of 2020, just 45 days before the November elections. Well, that didn't stop McConnell. He turned around and put forward ultra-conservative Amy Coney Barrett, and now he's doing it again. Mitch McConnell appeared Monday on Hugh Hewitt's radio show and said that if Republicans reclaim control of the Senate in the 2022 midterms, it's highly unlikely they'll confirm anyone that Biden nominates to the court.
I think it's highly unlikely. In fact, no, I don't think either party, if it controlled, if it were different from the president, would confirm a Supreme Court nominee in the middle of an election. What was different in 2020 was we were of the same party as the
president.
Yeah. And that's why we went ahead.
Wow. Some progressives and others are urging liberal Justice Stephen Breyer, who's now 82 years old, to retire now while Democrats still control the Senate. As the planet attempts to put COVID behind us, a few reminders that we're not out of the woods yet, even if Stephen Colbert is back on the stage in front of a live audience. The United States coronavirus death toll passing 600,000 on Tuesday. Reaching this tragic milestone even as infection and death rates are falling and the economy reopens. Now, the U.S. total amounts to about 15% of COVID-19 deaths worldwide. President Biden acknowledged the milestone during his visit to Europe, saying that while new cases and deaths are dropping dramatically in the U.S., there's still too many lives being lost. Well, better late than never, I guess. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's long been spouting anti-Semitic tropes with awful messages like this,
where people were told to wear a gold star and they were definitely treated like second-class citizens, so much so that they were put in trains and taken to gas chambers in Nazi Germany. And this is exactly the type of abuse that Nancy Pelosi is talking about.
Made a statement Monday afternoon saying that she's sorry for comparing health recommendations during the pandemic to the Holocaust.
This afternoon, I visited the Holocaust Museum. The Holocaust is, there's nothing comparable to it. It happened in, over 6 million Jewish people were murdered. More than that, there were not just Jewish people, black people, Christians, all kinds of children, people that the Nazis didn't believe were good enough or perfect enough. And the horrors of the Holocaust are something that some people don't even believe happened, and some people deny, but there is no comparison to the Holocaust. And there are words that I have said, remarks that I've made that I know are offensive. And for that, I want to apologize.
Yeah, apparently the QAnon conspiracy theorist visited the Holocaust Museum and said she had learned more about the horrors of the Nazi genocide against the Jewish people. Things that she should have learned in public school. Education works. Just saying. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.